Hey yo, let's go. Welcome back to the number one anime and manga show on the internet, Weebcast, with your fearless leader, C Dub. He's back at it again with some cool, interesting topics. And actually, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite animes of all time. But I got a guest with me today. A very special guest. I'm someone who probably likes it just as much as myself, if not even more. But we're going to find that out. We're going to be talking about all things Bakugo on this episode of Weebcast, which you can find on any other podcasting platform you like to enjoy: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, iHeartRadio, wherever you guys like to listen to podcasts. Make sure you search for Weebcast by C Dub and you'll find it. It's been a while since we've done a centric anime episode like this, guys. So I get excited because not only I get to rewatch or watch something new, but I get to share that with someone else. And watching anime alone is just, you know, it's just not the same. It's like, you know, me and, you know, let me introduce my guest. Right today, we have Lush. Am I saying that right? Can I say that?
That's okay.
We rewatched Bakugo. And I don't know about you, but for shows like these, I kind of sped through it a little bit. I was just so excited to see some of my favorite characters again.
You can't. It's just impossible to stop once you start.
And you're exactly right. I think it was the Tuesday we were talking, and I remember I watched the first episode, and I said, I'll take a break. And then that next day, I ran through the rest. it was an endless train, pun intended, of me just, you know, going through the show and revisiting the Flying Pussyfoot. I've been in a good mood since. I don't know, but how are you feeling? How do you feel? What are your initial thoughts? When was the first time you saw Bakugo?
First time, I think I was in 8th grade, so that was 5-7 years ago. So it's definitely been a while.
Middle school. I must have watched it. Maybe not in middle school, but I might, because I was a little late on it. When it came out, though, it came out 07, I believe, 07 or 08. And I was in 07 and 08. I was in 7th grade, 8th grade. So I must have watched it freshman year of high school. I must have watched it in 09 or in 2010, something like that. So I was a little late. I was a few years late on it, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. I saw it once I started getting back into anime. As a child, I watched a lot, and then there was a time where I didn't. And then I caught up on One Piece, and I caught up on Naruto and Detective Conan, and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch some more. And that one, so I went to like German anime site, and I was the top 100, and I just went down the list. And I think Bakugo was, at that time, it was in the like top 50, top 20, or somewhere like that. I don't know where it's now.
I've always wondered, and we'll probably get into this a little bit later, definitely, but what's the perception of Bakugo to people? At least my friends and in my circle, we put Bakugo on a pretty high pedestal.
It's one of the shows where if you have seen it, you're just in love with it. And yeah. I have never heard about anybody who didn't like Bakugo.
You know what? And off the air, we were talking about Dororo. And I think, obviously, it's animated by the same studio. Now it's 6K, Brain Base, I'm sorry. And that's one of those other shows where people kind of latch onto it pretty quickly, because it hits pretty hard right off the beginning. And it kind of just sticks to you with the characters. I think that's actually a pretty decent way, good way to start with the characters in Bakugo. With anime like that throwing a lot of characters at you, you know, all at once, especially in the first few episodes.
Big ensemble.
Yeah, and they work it so well. and obviously it's a pretty difficult task, especially with shonens. I guess shonen animes run into this problem a little bit more than of the genre and of Bakugo and Durarara and Bloodlad and things of that nature.
And shonen have like 100 or more episodes. Durarara has 13 plus the three extra. So yeah. They handle like a shonen level cast in like a fraction of the time, which is impressive.
Which is really impressive, really impressive. I will tell you about when I first saw this, because I saw Durarara first of something of this kind, of this sort of this kind first. I will say the first episode of Bakugo was, I don't want to say jarring, because it wasn't really jarring, but I guess in retrospect, the first few episodes were interesting. It's hard to say. Yeah,
I think that's because you don't really have a frame, because there's not really another show that has had that style of storytelling. Even Durarara doesn't have this, a lot more like chronologically correct than Bakugo. It's like with Bakugo until like episode 6, you have pretty much no idea what's going on until like everything starts unraveling. So you feel kind of lost in the beginning, and I think that's pretty new for most people when they first see it.
You're right. You just brought up about the point where it unravels. I was kind of falling in love with it just before that point, but that just kind of pushed me over the edge. I think you were episode 7 or 8, I think, is when I guess when they were going right into Claire Stanfield or Vino. After that, it was each episode after 7, or you could really say after 6, really. It was one great episode after another, and each kind of rolling into each one of, like a snowball, just kind of getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and more pieces of knowledge and information coming at you, sticking together. And you're like, you know what? And Bakugo, the thing about I like about Bakugo a lot, and I wanted to ask you if you agree with me or not, for something with such a fragmented storytelling like this, it doesn't really. There wasn't really times, even my first viewing, I don't think there was a time where I was so much confused when things were coming together in the latter half.
It was the good kind of confusion. Like you were entertained while you were confused. Not that it didn't like put me off when I was watching it. I wasn't like, oh, I don't understand anything what's going on. Because you can see where stuff is going, but you're just you're just there for the ride.
I think that's one of the things when I tell people to watch, when I recommend Bakugo, I'm not sure what you use. We all have our script, you know what I'm saying? Well, at least I say we have our script. When we recommend our friends the anime, we kind of prepare, we prepare a few lines. We're like, you know, I gotta make this sound like they want to watch this, you know what I'm saying? So when I recommend Bakugo to people, I say, I always talk about the cast of characters. There's so many lovable, likable people. If you like in an entangling, and it's not so much, I guess it's, you could call it plot, but just the character interaction, entangling character interactions, and obviously the OST.
The music is amazing.
I can't get enough of the music. The opening obviously is legendary.
Definitely the best.
I'm sorry.
And even in like, Durarara had some, I also saw some really nice openings, but in like the style, it's the same style, and Bakugo just like went above and beyond. Even though those Durarara openings,
I don't know how you read in my mind, Lush, but you said exactly what I was gonna say. I was just thinking, I used to go back and forth between whether I liked Bakugo's opening or the three, I think it was three Durarara and openings.
What the Durarara openings gave me were amazing bands that I listen to still. but as far as just the opening goes, it was just Baccano. It kind of fit better, I feel like. The first Durarara opening really fit well, in general, Baccano fit like that was like that was perfect. How everything fit together.
Yeah, it fit together, and all, it, like you said, it fit with the tone and the motif of just the show and as in its entirety. And if I had to nitpick, and it's not a bad nitpick, but if I had to nitpick one thing from the open, and I like the one of the other than just the sound and the vibe and the animation, I like the what do you call it? Review of the previous events, you know, halfway through the opening. I'm sure maybe there's TV shows in where you're at that do the same thing, but I've only seen that in like American TV shows, where they'll play the theme and maybe they'll either keep the theme, they'll, you know, lower the volume of the theme and play maybe a few events in the last episode or so. Especially like shows on Netflix have done that. But it just fit. I always liked that. It was just a nice little touch. It doesn't really add anything, I guess, to it.
Helps, especially for a show like Baccano. I mean, if you're binging through 16 episodes in one day, it doesn't really matter. When it came out, presumably week by week, it definitely helps, especially in a show with such a dense plot, such a dense storyline. Like Baccano and so much stuff happening every episode, it really helps.
I wish I were hip on it in the beginning to watch it weekly, to be honest, because I feel like this show would have kept me sane in those early years of school. I swear.
I would have been 12, I think. Then, so I don't know. Back then it was still all the anime that were on TV, and I don't think they would play Baccano.
Oh hell no.
We sadly didn't have a Toonami equivalent in Germany where you could watch like late night anime.
I was just gonna say we just had the only available was what I saw on TV and what Comcast and Xfinity, which a internet and phone service kind of company, and they had a small anime section on their on-demand kind of thing. Well, this was before Xfinity was Xfinity, but it was, and they had like shows like Darker Than Black, Orion High School, Host Club, Fruit Baskets.
That's a good selection.
XXXHolic, and those were all dubbed, and I enjoyed the hell out of them. But those were my first kind of. I remember some of the early shows. That's what I didn't ask. I hate to interrupt the Baccano, but we're going to get right back into it because I always like to ask this some of my guests. What was your very first anime that you considered an anime? That you was well aware of that this was Japanese animation? Because for me, it would be Dragon Ball Z for me. But unofficially, I guess it'd be Saint Seiya. I thought Saint Seiya was a cartoon that was just... Because I... Basically, my first experience from anime was with a VHS tape that my uncle had. He said, you can have this. It's a cool show. You know, get me this just so I can shut up and watch something on my VHS. And it was Saint Seiya. I didn't know it was an anime at the time. I'm not sure what anime really was, but I thought it was a really cool show. Had fights. It was flashy. Had really cool powers. I dug it. But I think Dragon Ball Z was like the first show where I knew like, oh, this isn't like an American thing. This is not or something from my country. So I wanted to ask you, what was your first anime?
I think it was the very first was either Digimon or Detective Conan.
Oof, I'm so glad. Wait, oh man, you're a lucky dude, man. Detective Conan?
Yeah, we had it like dubbed in Germany on television.
Because I think... I'm sorry, go ahead.
It started with either of those. Could have I don't think it was Dragon Ball, but it was.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball was definitely also up there with one of the first ones. But yeah.
Yeah. I only do that because I know from the few guests that I've had on, I always like to do that to gauge how old the person, you know, that I'm you know, just conversating, chit-chatting with. And I will say, most of my guests so far on the show have been female. And so I've always tried to approach it delicately. You know, I don't, you know. But
I can just say, I'm 24, so.
Okay, then I'm 26. I can tell we definitely started in similar time. Points. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that.
You're from the States, I guess, right? So what?
Yes.
In Germany, for example, with Digimon, we had like a German version of Butterfly as our opening, and that is still like to this day one of the best openings that I've ever heard. But when the movie came out, they used the American opening, the Digimon.
Yeah.
Okay. And I
so
had
was that
dark? It was fine, I guess, but I had until like a year ago, I had no idea that was your guys' opening. I always thought like they just made that up for the movies, and then suddenly I was like, oh wait, it's just the American stuff. And yeah.
That opening is such a classic here. Like we associate Digimon to that.
That's really kind of strange to me, but when I watch like Digimon Try and it's like the original version of Butterfly, because what they do in Germany, what they did with Digimon, they took the melody and they just made like a Digimon song with the same melody and with just a German singer. So Butterfly is like a completely extra song with a different meaning, and then our opening is like specifically about Digimon and how you're gonna have your Digimon partner is gonna accompany you to the end of the earth and stuff like that.
That's so interesting. I knew about some things like that because I know I think Saint Seiya was insanely popular in Latin American countries, so they had their own original opening as well. They had a dubbed one as well for the Pegasus theme song. I found on YouTube. I can't remember what the video is. Someone's gonna have to link me that at some point. But it was a YouTube video of just anime openings with country variants.
Mm, yeah.
I guess variant isn't the right word because it's, you know, if you watch it in your country, that's the opening that you know. But there's so many. There was so many cool animes that had original openings for their region that I had no idea about. You know, I just knew. I was like, it's either the Japanese one or there's some kind of weird dub one or something like that.
But I got surprised. I think it was with Shippuden when they had like the very first opening. It wasn't dubbed. That was surprising, I think. I don't remember the other ones from normal Naruto,
mm-hmm.
or Shippuden, but I specifically remember that I was like, "Oh shit, this is Japanese." What?
I think we had two versions of the. They played the Japanese version of the very first part one Naruto opening, and then we had. Like some kind of weird rock song. I'm not sure if it was especially made for Naruto or not, but it was just some rock song, and I really dug it. I assumed it was just maybe English cover of the original Japanese song, but I think it's completely original if I remember correctly.
Interesting.
I always thought that was really cool. You talk a little bit about Detective Conan, and I hate to stray too far from Bakugo, but I find this fascinating. Was Detective Conan like a really popular anime?
It still is. It really.
Well,
they started like a year ago, 2 years years ago. So they stopped at around like in German count, because the count was different between Germany and Japan, at around like episode 330, around that time, like after the Sky Tree stuff.
Okay, okay, perfect.
There were like a couple more episodes that they went with, and then they stopped. And like that was, I don't know how many years ago. They continued with every movie. Every movie still gets stopped.
Wow.
But with the episodes, they picked up like 1 or 2 years ago, and they dubbed like 150, and now they're in the process, I think, of dubbing another 100 or 150. So it's starting back up again.
See, and that's well, you guys heard it first. You're gonna hear it here first, guys. I'm moving to Germany officially. Seems like my number one anime of all time is not. It's, I always knew it wasn't popular in America. Or it had some following for sure, but it's definitely not the premier show. To be honest, I mean One Piece. We talked a little bit off air about One Piece. I mean, that's a phenomenon wherever you go. I'm sure that people watch anime, but it's definitely in America. It's definitely caught. It's definitely similar to One Punch Man and Naruto and Dragon Ball Z. It's slowly be getting into people who don't watch anime, you know, as regularly as probably someone like me and yourself. Like, you know, I could call my mom and be like, you know, hey, do you know a guy, a muscle guy with golden hair, fights a lot? She probably could guess Goku, or she can picture Goku.
Yeah.
If I talked about Pikachu or Pokemon, she would probably say Pikachu or something like that. It's to the point where if I say a stretchy dude, you know, throws his fist, has a straw hat, she could probably picture, you almost probably get the name Luffy. And that's how I gauge how the piercing of an anime is to an American culture, is when, you know, when people who don't watch anime like me, yourself and I a lot, they can recognize characters and things like that. Mm. And it's gaining. I guess Demon Slayer is probably a better example right now. Now to think about it, I think Demon Slayer is probably huge in America right now. It's selling like hotcakes right now. The volumes. I saw something in the news, I think a few days ago. There's about 80 million copies in circulation right now in Demon Slayer.
That's a lot.
It's wild. They've already sold over 12 million copies just this year, in the first 6 months of this year, and I think One Piece is around 2 million, 3 million. Those numbers are probably going to even out as the year goes on. But
yeah, it had a lot of hype like last year and this year.
Yeah, Demon Slayer last year sold a shit ton as well, especially with the movie coming out, Mugen Train, I think in October. It's just gonna rise even higher. But you know, enough about Demon Slayer. I could talk about Demon Slayer a lot, but I will have to confess something to you, Lush, and please don't get too mad at me. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, for sure. I really like the Isaac and Mirdia point though, because I never really thought about it like that. Because they were just so funny. I was just so focused on the comedy.
Yeah, and oblivious. Like, it's still hilarious that they don't realize they're immortal until like 2001.
Yeah, see, that was another thing that I thought was undersung, of how they found out. Well, like the different clues and the different things that they just sprinkled throughout, like that Isaac and Mirdia are just immortal. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what episode, might have been the first or second, when their Furio's doing his initiation, fighting with Maiza, the knife fight, and the boss fires a gunshot,
and you hear
eyes, yeah. And I was like, and I remember like, wait, I forgot about this. I forgot they were immortal after they stole from who did they steal the bottles from again?
That was the whole Slizzard.
That's right.
Stuff. The bottles got rearranged, I think, through the...
Yeah.
What's the brother's name of Eve?
Was it Dallas?
Dallas.
Yeah, okay. I just thought that was a really funny and interesting plot line. I wish that they used that, not more, but maybe just a tad bit more in the Pussyfoot story.
That they're immortal?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess we saw it when they were saving Cévez.
Yeah.
And that was a sweet moment with Media and Isaac and Cévez. I thought that was really sweet. Maybe they did. Maybe it was a sign. Maybe there was something.
There wasn't much for this specific
thing. Yeah.
Because I don't... Like, they probably also had no idea. They probably forgot or something. It did feel like they had no idea they were completely immortal at that time.
Mm. Well, now, we got the main characters pinned down, but another question is, who would be the... we got a few answers for the main antagonist of the series. I think most people would probably say Claire or Sabino or whatever. But I think... And Sizzlard would probably, I guess, be another pretty common answer.
No.
I don't know. I think... And I wish we could maybe, you know, if there is something down the line or whatever, if there's ever a continuation or whatever. I haven't read the novel, so I'm not quite sure. But I think Dallas, as low as he is, and as kind of almost, he has pretty some low significant points and then some really high significant points in the story. I think he could be one of the main antagonists, because it seemed like he was kind of the root of, other than Sizzlard, being the root of ugly... Yeah, so much trouble. Even though he never has any direct interaction with, I guess, with Nice or Jacuzzi. I guess, well, he does. He knows Media, and like you said, they interact a little bit, though.
I think it's because Eve is such a lovable character.
Mm-hmm.
And her search for her brother, and then hearing that he like didn't really care about her is also really bad.
Such a scum. Like, you can be bad, but man, your own sister.
And
just being bad and just being an asshole.
And she really loved her. She really loves him still, probably. He wanted money.
That's even the heartbreaking thing. Because when they were trying to find him, and at the bottom of the Hudson, she was so worried. She was her sole focus was like, I just want to see my brother again. I just want to be able to talk to him. Which is another plot point I haven't seen discussed a lot. Where is Dallas and his little crew? Where could have they have gone? I guess they really could have gone anywhere. Someone must have had already broke them out of their cement underwater prison.
It seems like maybe that story that gets continued in the light novels, maybe.
I hope it does, because I kind of, that's the one of the few questions I want to just see resolved, if not resolved, at least talked about.
Where he ends up.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, where he ends up is already.
Yeah. There was another kind of plot point that I kind of want to, or I don't know if it's kind of an outlandish theory, but I wonder if Vino, or if he's ever gotten his hands on immortality. It seemed like he wasn't really quite interested in it.
He was too narcissistic. He already doesn't think he's ever gonna die, so why bother?
Yeah, and I thought that he spoke of that so much that I felt like it would just be it was gonna be like some kind of weird twist of fate where like, when they showed in 2001 and we see Isaac and Media, I was like, what if there was some clue or like some newspaper clipping we have that flies by and we see like Rail Tracer or series of killings in New York or whatever, something like that. Maybe I just wanted to see the end of his arc so badly just because he's such a enigmatic character. So my mind's just trying to make connections that don't exist.
That was really nice of the like three extra episodes that he and his and Shane's, I guess, relationship was the kind of the focus of that.
I did like that, actually. That's a good point. I forgot that that is kind of the main focus of that with I can't think of the mechanics or wrench holder guy's name.
Discount Sanji.
Discount Sanji. It's like if Sanji and Lad Russo kind of fused. And I did like how like he was so looked up to Lad so much. And I to be honest, he's one of the few characters in the OVA I would love to see again. Especially him and Vino interact as well.
As far as villains go, I think the most dangerous character in the show might have been Lad, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because Vino as Rail Tracer, he doesn't really care about... didn't really care about most of the people on the train.
Yeah.
He just got rid of the...
the conductor.
The conductor, the bad guys.
Yeah.
And... Lad was pretty much the only, really dangerous character because he doesn't care who he kills. He just kills anybody that's in front of them.
Yeah, exactly. He was definitely the most lethal character there. And his story, too. I wonder how, projecting forward, I wonder how that progressed. Because when we see him... I don't know if he's in... Where exactly is he? Is he in a hospital or some kind of mental...
Something like that.
And he seems very unmotivated.
No,
up until that last shot, last episode, last OVA.
Yeah, where he wants to kill Huey. Like.
Yeah, another character which I wish we got to see more of as well. Because Huey, he was a scientist, was it? Or something like that.
Yeah. Also one of the people from the boat, I think, right?
I think so as well. I'm trying to remember who was on that boat as well, but I think he was there as well, yeah.
And just an insult to Lad having somebody mortal walk around.
Just a little insult to injury, He was embarrassed by Vino on that train, man. He was fucking embarrassed. What was another thing that I thought was pretty... I did like the whole in the OVA with... I think it was Elmer. I think that was his name. Elmer. And the demon.
I also like that.
That was one plot point. There was so much in those 13 episodes. So it was pretty... It'd be really difficult to, fit that plot point in. But it was one thing in the OVA that I do wish it was... And maybe it was referenced, or maybe it was hinted at.
I didn't see that coming at all. I didn't...
Yeah,
when that happened, I was like... I was a little... At first, I was like, what the fuck? But I didn't expect the demon to show up again.
Same. I thought it was just a thing that will, just there it is, and that one episode will probably never be referenced again. I was okay. I'd be okay with that because it wasn't the focus. It was just the chase for immortality and stuff like that. But it was really cool to see. I really thought that was interesting that they gave Elmer that role, that much importance. And I was just kind of sad. I didn't get to see a little bit more of him in the original 13 episodes.
No.
His whole thing with the smile, I thought was so refreshing and really cool. A little sinister at points.
But he is a demon, so that's...
Yeah. That is true. But I don't know. It did seem a little unnerving, but positive at the same time. I don't know. What did you have a favorite episode though? Even though I know it would be hard to choose, I imagine, but
favorite episode.
Some of them kind of run together, I do now, because now that I'm thinking about it, since everything's just flowing all together at different paces.
Like I would just say like anything that happened on the roof of the Pussyfoot was some of my favorite parts of the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. The China and Lab fight, I guess. Fight was pretty, that was really cool. The jacuzzi and one of the Gandors. Was it Luck? No, I'm not sure who it was. It was definitely one of the black suits.
Yeah, but, I don't know his name, but the black suits were kind of the group, except for Shana, that mixed together a lot more than all the other ones.
Yeah. I felt like I'm looking to the production team because I want them to note this moment exactly, because I'm about to sneeze and I'm about to be really unprofessional. Oh, now it seems to fade, so I'll continue. But the black suits, I felt like they had some of the presence felt a little empty in some episodes. With like Chane being one of the, I guess, focal points for me, I felt really interesting. And I don't know, but the rest of the black suits, they were just a nameless force that I liked seeing be slaughtered by anybody, whether it be Vino or Lad's group.
I just looked up the name of the leader, Goose Perkins.
Goose. Wow. Okay. I should have known that.
Yeah. I completely forgot the name. Even though I just watched it again. So, like, they really were just like a group of tuxedos, nothing more.
Pretty much. I was trying to think of some anime that was similar to this, other than without naming some of the obvious ones, I guess. I was trying to think. I'm not sure if you ever seen. What's that show called? No, now I'm blanking. Oh, 91 Days?
No, I started it. I haven't when it came out. But yeah, also like the mafia stuff, definitely.
Yeah, I really like the mafia stuff in 91 Days. I don't think it's as good, but I think it's, I thought it was pretty decent. That's only 12 episodes, I believe. Things like, was it Black Lagoon? If I had to maybe pick one, had some pretty raw
as far as like the violence, yeah, and the action goes, definitely Black Lagoon.
Yeah, and I'm tempted to say Gangster, but Gangster has an element of, and this sounds weird, I guess, because I mean there's Immortals in Bakano, but it still felt supremely grounded.
I think that's because like there's no real philosophical background to the Immortals or whatever. There's no dissection of being immortal. It's just, oh, now you're immortal, that's cool.
Yeah,
you get turned into the Swiss cheese and right back again. Like they don't have, and I think that's like one of the strong points of the whole show, because they could have had like the dissection of what it means to be immortal, but they just show, I guess, Isaac and Miria 70 years later stealing cell phones, and that's about it.
And that makes
it more fun, because they just can concentrate more on the action and the story, instead of having to focus on like philosophically going after what it means to be alive or dead or whatever.
That's true, actually. I never thought about that. But I think they do handle the idea of using immortal characters really well, especially with the case of, you know, I'm just thinking about other shows where there are characters who just can't be killed, and then trying to find a way to write them in situations that show fear and terror and stakes. But Bakugo does a really good job of that, with people, with other immortals being able to eat others. I thought that was a real nice, something simple, but, and what Sizzlar, I thought was, should be more scary, because he has all this knowledge. We used his 200 years of trying to not only find, you know, a replication, drink, but spend his time eating other immortals, you know? And that being immortal meant, like, hey, you could still be kind of, you could be off. You know, if you get caught slacking, you could, another immortal can catch you and basically, you know, eat you and take everything from you, literally everything. You know?
Yeah. Here's another, I guess, thing that can be read into it. Like, the only, like, all the characters I feel like that are immortal from the 1700s,
yeah,
all didn't live like they were immortal. Like, they were in fear of all the other ones. They feared for their life to be eaten, not talking, not using their real identities, whatever. Always on the run. All the, like, the Gondors, when they got immortal, they're just partying. Like I said, Isaac and Miriad, they don't notice. Like, they, all the characters that get immortal in the 1930s, they live like they are actually immortal. Like, I would do the same if I was immortal like tomorrow.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, because I was thinking about it with Firios, with Miza's group, where, I mean, they're not gonna live that much differently. They're just gonna keep doing what they're already doing. It's a bonus. They're like, oh, we can just do what we're doing longer. Awesome.
Yeah. It's probably gonna make their job a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly.
Being immortal in the mob, like, that seems like a pretty huge benefit.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about some background information, or some kind of the things in the back that I thought was pretty cool, and that it wasn't, I guess, expanded upon to a lot in the show. I guess Jakku, because they were, because it's so set, you know, right in the midst of the Prohibition era. And we don't get too much of that other than from Nice and Jacuzzi and their group, because that's their main job, it seems. You know, just running alcohol to supposedly, maybe, I guess, I'm guessing, other mafia groups.
It seems like that, yeah.
Yeah. And that's their only connection to these characters, because, you know, they're running liquor and things like that. But I really enjoyed the setting. I like the setting, you know, it's set in the Prohibition era. It's set in, I guess it sounds selfish, but I like it how it's an anime set in America. I don't know.
Also, you were talking about what you can recommending Bakano to people.
Yeah.
Also, one of the shows where you can recommend the dub.
Yeah.
Where people usually say that it's better even than the sub.
Yeah, the dub actually is really, really good. I like Vino's voice. I can only speak for the ones I remember specifically. Firdio's voice was pretty cool. Isaac and Midia's voice is actually, you could say, it's just on par with the Jap, if not better. I don't know who plays them to, but they seemed enthusiastic about playing them, their characters.
Yeah.
Lad Russo's voice was really nice. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because the dub is actually really, really good.
That and Cowboy Bebop are the ones where it's like, usually people recommend the dubs over the subs.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop, Trigun had a pretty decent dub as well.
Yeah, Trigun was nice too.
Yeah. I like Darker Than Black dub. I'm not sure if you saw that, but the dub for Darker Than Black was pretty decent.
No, I think I have only seen it soft.
Yeah, that's actually pretty. That is actually good. I'm glad you brought that up.
But yeah, the setting in Bakano is nice, and especially like all the things that come with it. I really love the daily days, like the newspaper.
Yes. Oh my god!
Amazing people. The president is amazing behind this small mouth.
And then, like, was it the sugar cube, the only one who goes goes back behind there to give him a sugar cube, and is like, oh, thank you very much. And then Nicholas and the other guy, I can't think of, were just like astonished. Seeing that. And,
like journalist type characters, you don't get that a lot in anime.
No, you do not. You do not at
it's
all.
Like, it's like them and fuck, I forgot his name. Bird from what?
Oh my god. Yeah, I know who you're talking about too. But jeez, man. Now I feel bad. I should know that.
What is the name?
I was gonna say, I hope. Do you have that one?
I'm looking it up right now. Big News Morgans, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are really not a lot of journalistic type characters, but they are. Oh, and they're also part of the Daily Days, but Charlotte and. What is. Like, in the beginning, Charlotte and the Vice President. Like, they are also.
Yeah.
In the beginning and the end, they're also some of my favorite characters in the show.
That was another thing, yeah. It was Vice President, Carol. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And that was a cool thing, too. So. That's another question about Bakugo. Is it how much of it is public that these immortals are out there? I don't feel like it's a complete secret.
Now the FBI or CIA or whoever that went to LAD.
That's like right.
The guys in the car, they seem to know.
Mm-hmm.
Some politicians, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the senator, that one senator, he maybe was aware of it. He seemed like he was aware of some kind of thing of that kind of going on.
And they have Huey in custody, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say eventually, you know, if they don't know, which I feel like they should, but yeah, if they didn't know, they would like, you know, he's kind of been in there for like 50 some years. You know, like, are we gonna why? How come he's not dying yet?
Nobody's checking up on him.
You know, guards come and go, and then still the same prisoner. Because when I didn't really think about it the first viewing, but when I saw Vice President show Carol that the mouse was, you know, came back to life.
That was a nice touch.
Because I was like, oh, it's like, is that just a wink and a nod to us, or is like have. Carol don't know anything about this? Does the vice president know about this as well?
How does he even know that is the mouse?
How do you know that was the mouse that would, you know, come back to life? It was really weird, but I liked it. I have no problem with it. That was just threw me through a loop when I saw it.
Definitely.
Now going on to the other side, I want to like because the production team is looking at me. They're staring me down right now. They're showing me that we have had a pretty lengthy conversation, which I'm loving right now. But I wanted to spend at least a few minutes talking about some recent shows, other than Bakugo since we watched, but some other recent shows and manga that you've been reading, watching, unless you just want to talk about Spotlight or anything like that.
Let me get on each other. I mean, probably the best show of the year is already Eizouken.
Like,
it has the best character and is probably the best show. So,
I oh my god! So, I have not spoken to anybody yet who's like, but Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken, you guys, is literally one of my favorite shows in like the past 4 or 5 years, if not more. It's amazing. I love that show. It brings out, like, people, for someone who likes Bakuman, have you read or watched Bakuman before?
Multiple times.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, man, I need to have you back on. But it brought me Bakuman vibes, but did definitely. Even more. it was I almost want to say it's better, and which is not a bad thing to Bakuman, but I love this one. I love the show so much. Midori is absolutely fun. Tsubame is great.
Sayaka. Kind of movie, she is the best girl of 2020. Like, so already immediately after I watched the first episode, I was like,
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you brought that, because Sayaka, you know who is another best girl I'm gonna have to put in the running? I'm gonna have to put the girl from Inspector. I don't know if you watched that yet.
Not yet.
It's Inspector. I guess I'll add that to the official list of recommendations. I don't want to leave you here empty. I don't want to, have you leaving the show without anything. But Inspector is basically a show. How was I going to say this? But it's pretty much about lying and mystery and demons and ghouls, all kind of rolled into one. It's about this girl and this dude. He's eaten mermaid meat, I think, as a child or whatever, which has given him immortality. And he's poisonous to ghosts and demons and things. His flesh is poisonous to them. And he pairs up with this girl who is kind of like the demons and ghosts, the queen, or like, you know, they look up to her for guidance. And she solves disputes between humans and ghosts, and just demons in between themselves. And they go on through pretty much venture onto adventure in different places in Japan. It does a really good job learning. You get to learn a lot of Japanese lore and things like that. It's a really neat show. And the main girl in that would probably be one of my in the ranking as well for best girl.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I can, just going through like the list, mm-hmm. like in winter, I watched like the first episode of One Way, the Warate. And then I read every chapter that was out after that, like immediately after that. I didn't think I would like it as much, but I really did like that.
The winter had some low-key good things about it, to be honest. I thought there were some pretty decent shows in the winter of this year.
And in spring, I can say Arte. I also, before I even watched the first episode, I saw that it was coming out, and mm-hmm. then I went to the manga, and I also binged through that. Arte was also...
I was just gonna ask if you had to recommend anything, because I haven't seen most of the spring stuff. I'm behind on that.
Yeah, me too. But what I want to watch next is the Yesterday Utate.
Oh yeah. Is that the Sing For Me one, or is that something?
Yeah, that's the Sing For Me one.
Okay. I think I have that actually on the list somewhere. I'm pretty sure I have that. I want to watch that eventually.
I mean, Kaguya Sama is a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah. That's been great. That's been good.
And like I said, the manga for Arte was really nice. I don't know if the anime is the same, but I really like the manga.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... I want to get that. I want to watch that as well. Because I hear nothing but good things about it, to be honest. Whether it's on Twitter, Tumblr, or even Reddit, where it's usually ranked up pretty high.
Definitely. And I can say that as far as like shonen goes,
yeah.
Spoiler for people who haven't read it, Haikyuu is also pretty interesting right now.
Good. Okay, great. Because we did not get a lot of sports in these last few years, but Haikyuu's been going pretty damn strong. And the next season, I think this summer, aren't they doing the second season of To the Top, right? I think I hope so, because I definitely
either in the summer or in the fall, but yes, this year.
Yeah, I know it's definitely this year. I just don't know which season. But I was going to say, have you been keeping up with the manga? Because I know that's ending pretty soon.
Yeah, I think I'm like two chapters behind, but yeah, I don't know when I started again in a while. I when the national started, mm-hmm. I'm gonna let it run a bit so I can just binge read a lot of it. But now I'm at week for week almost again.
Yeah, I'm not sure when I dropped it off, but a few months ago I was like, you know, I need to really get back into it because I needed my dailies. I needed some sports. People who listen to the show know that the sports genre is one of my favorite genres of all time.
Definitely. It's my favorite anime is probably the sports.
Because I feel like you can do so much with it and you can mix it with any other genre you want and make it really unique. But
for me, it's definitely, I don't know, probably I've seen the Cross Game.
Oh, Cross Game? Yes. Man, I'm going to have you back on for some sports for sure.
If
you're
so
open
many,
to that,
there's so many good sports stuff.
Then you'll definitely like this. I want to recommend you Blue Lock. Maybe you're already reading it, but
is that the football?
Yes,
soccer one.
Yes. It's the football one, and it's kind of like Haikyuu. It's like hype, and the art's really well. It's like it's the epitome of the modern sports manga. And I think it's going to be, I haven't talked about this on an episode yet, but I'm probably 100% sure that it will definitely be animated sometime in the next 3 years. If not 2 years, because it's so good and it's catching a lot of traction recently.
I can also recommend you have you read Teppu? The MMA... the mixed martial arts manga?
No, I don't think so. No,
Teppu is amazing.
Okay, wait, I'm gonna have to find that one.
TEPPU. Teppu is great.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Alright, cool. I got it. I found it on the app. Awesome.
Oh, and there was a one shot that I saw that came out like 2 months ago. And I hope they continue on. It's not sports, it's something else, but the Gokuraku District 3rd Adventure. Avenue, no. The Gokuraku District 3rd Avenue.
Oh, what's that about?
It's just about, like, two, like, gangster-style handymen,
mm-hmm.
an older woman and, like, a 18, 17-year-old boy, and like, just handyman stuff doing in, like, a sleazy district. And their adventure, and it had some of the coolest character designs I've seen in a while, like especially how like the main woman looks is pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah, that's getting added right now. That sounds cool. Oh, I can get that. Oh, I can get Teppu on Kodasha and Good Afternoon Magazine. All right, bro, I'm so happy. I'm definitely gonna have to have you on for a episode again as well. I'm thinking sports, if you'd be down for that.
Always down to talk about sports.
Yeah, and manga. I was gonna say we could talk about that for a whole another hour and a half easily. Or some martial arts manga as well, for sure, because I'm sure you've read Baki or watched Baki as well.
I haven't. I still need to. It's one of the ones.
Oh, definitely. Okay, then. Well, you know, we're definitely gonna have to talk about some Baki as well. And Teppu. Read some Baki. I'm gonna read some Teppu. I think that's a decent trade.
once I'm done with my exams, I'll.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have more important things to focus on. But I do appreciate you for coming on the show. I appreciate you for talking about Bakano. Because as much as it's a popular anime, for at least people our age as well, and I know I've seen, and I'm looking at you directly to the audience, I've seen my demographics. Y'all under 18, y'all need to check out Bakano, all right? And y'all need to check out some of the other series that we referenced throughout the show as well. Cycle through, rewind it back if you need it. And I'm definitely going to be timestamping some stuff on Twitter as well if you need that as well. But thank you, Lush, for coming on to Weebcast.
No, thank you for having me.
Anytime. And I mean that one because I definitely want to have you back on. to talk about some sports, especially some manga, because you definitely seem like you've read a lot of manga, and I love me some. I love.
Now, well, but I usually do. A lot of the times, I don't even when I see like an anime in the list that has a manga as a source, I just directly go to the manga because I don't want to wait for the anime to come
out. That's what I'm saying. Look, that's what I'm saying. That's what. Oh my god! All right. I'm not gonna gush over Lush anymore. I could do that in another episode. Thank you so much for coming on. But you can listen to this episode and any other episode of Weepcast, the number one anime and manga show, on any other podcasting place you like to listen to podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Overcast, anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. Make sure you guys search up Weepcast by your boy C-Dub. Check out this episode and some other episodes. Thank you for just joining us. Thank you for allowing Lushes and I, our voices into your ears and into your homes. I hope you enjoy your morning, afternoon, evening, twilight hours, where you guys may be. Hope you listen to this with some snacks and a drink to enjoy yourselves. Because me and Lush are going to be Audi 3000. We'll see ya. I know Bakano is based on light novels. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah. I will confess to the audience and to yourself. I guess I can't be a real Bakano fan because I've only read, I think, the first novel, I believe, in completion. I'm pretty sure I've completed it. It's been a while. I know that there are, I think, about 4 or 3 novels. I might have to be fact checked on that, but I'm sure you guys will pester me on Twitter about that. But I think there's about 4 or 3 light novels, and I haven't read any of them except the first one, and I'm not even sure if I completed it. But when I was looking up discussions about it, and you know, kind of trying to get a sense of the perception of the show. Especially in the American audience, they wanted more. They wanted to see more from those OVAs, and they wanted to see a little bit more extended. The OVAs was actually pretty good. I'm not sure what your opinion on those 3 extra episodes.
I would say I really liked them, but yeah. I wouldn't be mad if they had stopped at 13. Like if they had it was usually when you get like extra, most of the time it's not that good. The 3 episodes were amazing, so I'm not complaining about getting good extras.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought it was well done for me. I thought it was enough. I thought it was entertaining enough. I thought it was fun just to watch, just to have something, you know, if you really wanted to get a more taste, or you know, weren't satisfied. But if you just watch the 13, I don't see how
you need any more.
Those 3, yeah, really, to be honest, it's definitely one of my favorite. It might be my all-time favorite under 26 episode anime. Now that I think about it, I was kind of before we started recording, I was trying to think of some shows that were under 26 episodes. And I was just kind of running through some of my favorites. And I don't think I can name one I liked more than Bakano, to be honest.
There's not that much. I mean, Anohana is emotionally more taxing, definitely.
Oh, please, don't do this to my heart now. Okay.
There isn't many better, shorter animes.
Yeah, I even like another short anime, and I like to do this from time to time in the episode, so I hate interrupting, but a little Weepcast official recommendation. Another short anime that you guys you might want to binge, and Lush the Wells You, but I don't know if maybe you already seen it, but it's SSSS Gridman.
I've just seen the memes like everywhere. I haven't watched it myself.
Well, it's based off the, obviously, the Ultraman series, Gridman. Mm-hmm. But the anime kind of takes it, and I don't And for people who are Ultraman purists, there's not a lot of you that listen to the show, but to the ones that are, I know you guys would call it a bastardization of a adaptation, but hear me out. I thought it was really well done. I thought the characters were almost compelling. It's really compelling, especially three or four of them. Especially if you like a little mecha, a little kaiju fighting, then you'll definitely get your feels worth with SSS Gridman. And it's another short, just like 24 episodes. And that's another one that I would probably put up contending Bakano. Even that, I'd probably still put Bakano on top. It's just too, it's really hard to find something that I enjoyed more than that. But, you know, Lush, I wanted to get into some of the plot here because, and try to pick out some of our favorite moments within the series. As short as it is, so much is happening.
Way too much.
So much is happening. And it's kind of hard to kind of piece together some things that I really enjoyed. We talked a little bit, like, I think after episode 6, I pretty much loved everything after that. And in my first viewing, my favorite character was Vino. But I guess a lot of people would say that as well.
Vino's definitely a fan favorite.
But after the second viewing, I've kind of found a love for Nice.
She is my favorite character in the show.
Yeah, she might be. She's really moving up the ranks for me. I don't know why I didn't appreciate her as more as I did in my first viewing. But I really love Nice, this character. And I really love, Jacuzzi's character as well. I've always liked it, but I appreciate him a lot more in this viewing as well.
I in general, the whole dynamic between the bootleggers and then also the backstory between Nice and Jacuzzi is...
Oh, well, yeah, I love that so much. That was actually a pleasant... That was one of the few things I've forgotten.
Me too. I completely forgot that happened.
Yeah, and so when I saw it, I was like, oh my god, that was... I don't know, I audibly was gasping a little bit because it was just really sweet to see. And really bolstered it, my opinion of Jacuzzi and Nice. But if I had to pick a third character from this view and that I really liked, and that was Maiza-san. It's framing it, and we should actually go into this after. I wanted to know what some of your favorite characters right now, but I'll wait. I'll ask this question a little bit after. But what were some of your favorite characters in the series?
So I do remember also Vino, obviously. That's right. Yeah. That's like liking a Toph or Iron Avatar. It's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like Lad. Lad Russo.
Oh yeah, Lad Russo.
He was just another like fun character. Like everybody, just a fun character.
Such a riot. Yeah.
I already said Nice was nice.
What was your opinion on oh my god, now the name is escaping. Oh, the Sizzlard or Sizzardo or Master Quates, I guess I'll call him. That's a lot easier.
He is like the one character I didn't really care about.
Okay, so I'm glad I'm not alone. Like, oh my god.
I think he was a good character. And I like the story kind of around him. Because, what's her name? Ennis? Ennis is nice.
Oh, Ennis. Yes.
Because that's nice. But other than that, like, he didn't feel like as interesting or as fun as all the other characters in the show.
Yeah. Out of the, I guess you could call him an antagonist. The show does a weird thing with plot pieces and just what characters are. But I guess I'll just, for the sake of make things simple, I guess for villains out in the show, I guess. I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel all that threatened.
Yeah, me neither.
Like Lad, obviously, I felt like he could have ended anyone's life at the moment's notice. Like characters where I'm like, I was afraid, like, oh man, what if my favorite characters gets just wiped out by Lad or something like that?
And I think we can talk about this later on.
Yeah.
I think that is because like Bakana was like all about a couple of different groups suddenly being in each other's way for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I kind of judge all the characters by the strengths of their group. And
Okay.
Silat's group wasn't really a strong group. It was like it was just him and
that's a good point.
The other ones were all just old dudes who didn't do much. So like Lad was intimidating because like all the other guys with Lad were savages.
Were just as almost as crazy as his ass.
Yeah. So you can see that, like one guy dies and then the other guy directly immediately is like, bye time now, let's go. And with Slizzard, it's like there was no real, like you said, there was like no real danger coming from him. Even though like technically like with all the knowledge that he had and so he was should have been like
yeah,
one
he
of the most
because he had 200 years worth of just not and he didn't waste I'm not saying Maiza and other people who from that was it 1711 I think that was the year when they
around that, yeah.
Yeah around that time he seemed like he was like oh let me just gather all this knowledge through these years so I can just find the other half or you know make his own immortality drink. Like he had all the tools to be a fearsome opponent to just any character in that show. I just didn't feel it from him at all. That was the problem.
When with Maida, like the family that he was then a part of, like the Gondors, they're pretty dangerous people, even though they're likable. And Firo's also pretty like strong, I guess, character. Like you can see like the backbone that Maida has in that group is really strong.
And that's, I think in the second view, and I appreciated Maiza a lot more because I like the dynamics we see with Maiza, you know, on that ship, the Advina, Advis, I think it was called, you know, he saw the worst of humanity when they all became immortal. And then skipping ahead over 200 years when his friends, Firo, all become immortal as well and rejoicing and seems it's so positive. You know, it may go wrong somewhere down the line. Maybe somebody get greedy or whatever. But in that moment, he saw like, you know what? Maybe it's not so bad. Like maybe there are good people in the world that maybe deserve to have this curse or gift as well as myself. And I thought that was pretty beautiful to see. But I wanted to move on to the character thing, more thing about characters, because obviously people who have seen it, and I'm sure this has been debated, and I want to get your answer right here. Who is the main character of Bakana?
It's Isaac and Miria.
Yeah, okay.
Like they are the only two characters who interact with every other character in a meaningful way, other than like Maiza just sees the bootlegger's niece Jagalier just walking out of the Pussyfoot at the end of episode 13. Isaac and Miria, with every character they have a storyline with them. They have some events going with them. Like yeah, I think with every character
that's crazy. I didn't know that actually.
I just thought about it like yesterday after it was finished, I was like, who would I pick as main characters? And I was like, wait a second, like the only two that really work with everybody in the show are Isaac and Miria.
Wow. You know, because I'd never thought about that. I knew they definitely saw a lot of the cast for sure. But that's now you think about it, they did have meaningful interactions with a lot of people in all three timelines. In 1930, 1931, and 1932. That's interesting. Okay, you know what? I was gonna say I was gonna say maybe Jacuzzi or Miza, but now I think you're swaying me to Isaac and Midia.
I feel like Jacuzzi was the main character of the Pussyfoot.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.